great job that they did there. Take your Bibles if you have one with you tonight. If not, young people, you can listen real close to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. It's great to see this good crowd of young people sitting here. And they're here. They're waiting. We have snow cones after the service. So parents, you can get one too. We have enough. And you can have any flavor you choose as long as it's red or blue. And any flavor you choose. And you can pretend it's any flavor, I guess. Or you can have plain. But we have those. They're in the cafeteria. They'll be there as soon as we're done here. You can go over there. But it's good to see you young people sitting right here. And I know that you can sit up and listen your very best. I have the privilege, several of you, to preach to many times in the year at chapels and such. And so it's good to see you sitting up straight and listening. I want to preach to you tonight a message that the Lord Jesus may, from a passage that the Lord Jesus may very well have delivered right in front of little kids, just like you. And so there's some things here. It says in verse number 15, and they brought unto him, that's unto Jesus, also infants, as little kids, that he would touch them. But then his disciples saw it. They rebuked him. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus called unto them and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, let's go down to verse number 18. He says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now Jesus heard these things. He said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, said, all that sell, all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Come, follow me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the singing of the young people. Thank you for the songs that help us, simple truths, but really, really very powerful truths. Pray that we'd all take those things and apply them to our hearts and lives. Lord, please be with me this evening to deliver the message. Help it to be something that speaks to our hearts. If there be even one person here that does not know you as Savior, we pray that tonight would be the night they would come to know you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So our story tonight is about what the Bible calls a rich young ruler. Now, the book of Matthew calls him young. Here it makes it clear that he was rich and that he was a ruler. And the Bible tells us several things about him. We know that he had a very interesting question that he asked the Lord. He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, that question is it's a good question to ask if it's asked in the right way, but this man didn't ask it in the right way. He meant it exactly how he meant it. He was asking the Lord, how can I earn my way to heaven? How can I earn my way to God? But of course, we know that that's not possible. We know that you can't do that. I'm glad, though, that Jesus took time with this man. He took time to talk to him, and he took time to explain things to him, and he took time to answer his questions, and he really answered them in a way that this man, if he had kept asking questions, he could have gotten saved. He could have figured out his problem, but he didn't do that, at least on this day. And so he asked him these questions. I want to give you a few things tonight. I don't expect that our young friends here in front of us have a pen with them, but you don't need one. I'm going to give you three things out of this. Can you hold up three fingers? Three things, that's how many. And these three things are so simple that I bet even the adults can remember them without writing them down, all right? You can put your fingers down. So I want to share with you three things out of this passage that we learn about God that's important for all of us. It doesn't matter if we're 5 or if we're 15 or if we're 55 or if we're 105. These truths are things that need to register in our hearts and lives. So this man, let's take a look at what we can learn here. First of all, I want you to learn this from this passage this evening, this, that God is holy. Young people, can you say that? God is holy. That's right. Now remember that, okay? God is holy. Say, how do we see that from that passage? What does it mean to be holy? God, the Bible tells us that God is holy. As a matter of fact, in several places of Scripture, it is said of Jesus, of God, that it's mentioned three times. Holy, holy, holy. You know that there's no other attribute of God. There's nothing else about God that the Bible describes in that way. You know, the Bible doesn't say ever that God is love, love, love. But it does say that He's holy, holy, holy. Now, this is a little different setting, so I'm not going to embarrass any of the young people. I get to preach to some of these in elementary chapel. We have all sorts of fun in there that I can't have in here because it's being videoed and all sorts of things. So I won't embarrass them by asking them any questions. But I bet some of them could tell me. But a lot of us may wonder, what does it mean to be holy? Well, it means that God is separate, that God is different. God is not like us. God is pure. God is holy and God is sinless. And that really presents a problem for us because we are not holy. And you say, how do we see that in the Scripture? How do we see that in this story that God is holy? It doesn't use the word holy, but how do we know that about God from this passage? Well, this young man, he was young. He was probably a little older than you, but he was still a young man. He came to Jesus and he asked the question, hey, what can I do to have eternal life? What can I do to be saved? Now, Jesus had already told them a story that should have helped him understand there's nothing good he could do. He told them the story earlier about two men that were praying, and one of them stood there as a Pharisee, and he said, I am glad that I am not as other men. But then he told them about one called a publican, a sinner, that stood there, and he stood there beating on his chest, and he just cried out to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus had already made it clear that the one that was calling out for mercy was the one that would be accepted, because he understood, I'm a sinner and God's holy. See, this man didn't understand that. He said, you can almost imagine him walking up to Jesus. There are several accounts of this in Scripture, and I don't think that this is too far from the truth. I don't know that it happened exactly like this, but his attitude, it was like this. It was almost like he came walking up to Jesus, just kind of strutting around saying, hey, look at how, you know, these people know that I'm a good guy. I just heard him talk about that publican. I'm not like that. He just told us that in order to come to him, you have to be like a little child. But does he know how much money I have? Does he know how fancy my house is? Does he know the really cool gadgets that I have at my house? You know, I get Jesus. You're talking about a dirty, rotten sinner publican guy, and you're talking about other people when you say that they have to come to you as a little child. But Jesus, I want to know this. That's for them. But what do I have to do? You see, this man thought that he was different than from everybody else, but he didn't realize that his problem wasn't with everybody else. He wasn't to compare himself with everybody else. He had to compare himself with God, and God is holy. You know what, young people? Middle-aged people? We're all young, all right? In scope of eternity, we're all young. So, you know, the truth of it is that no matter what we think of ourselves on our best day, all we can ever do is compare ourselves with our friends and with our neighbors and with our relatives and look around, and we might be tempted at times and go, you know what? I'm better than they are. And there might be someone in here that even had the thought before of, yeah, I've heard that Bible stuff talking about sinners and talking about, but I'm really not that bad of a person. I wonder really what I have to do to inherit eternal life. And if that's the question that you've asked, you've missed it. The problem isn't, am I better than my neighbor? The problem isn't, do I have all sorts of neat stuff? The problem is that God is holy and I am not. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 3, he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Do you know what that means, young people? Do you know what that means, church? That means that because of our sin and because God is holy, we can never, ever in a million years, even by doing our very best, we can never in a million years attain unto God's standard of what it takes to get into heaven. This man thought, you know what? If anybody can make it in, I can. But God said, Jesus told him, he said, "All right, you want to know what you can do? I'll tell you what you can do." He said, "Be holy like God." But we can't. So God is holy. That's one thing we learned. Second thing, hold up two fingers, young people. Look up here and hold up two fingers. So somebody tell me what's the first thing that I want you to remember, Jackson? God is holy. The second thing I want you to learn from this passage, all right, second thing, pay attention because I want you to be able to remember these things even when you go home. Second thing I want you to remember is that God is honest. So God is holy. Young people, look up here at me. God is holy, but also God is honest. Now, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, think about the passage here. I'll read to you a verse in the passage here. He said to him, Jesus said to him, all right, if you want to do it, if you want to be good enough on your own, then keep the Ten Commandments. And this man said, okay, the things you said, Lord, all of those things from a little kid up to an adult, I've done. Now, Has anybody in here ever had a situation where you were embarrassed to talk to your friend about something? Maybe they had a smudge on their face and you didn't want to tell them about it. They needed to wipe it off, they needed to clean it, but you didn't want to tell them about it. You were afraid, you know what, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to offend them. Maybe their hair was messed up and they didn't realize it. You didn't want to tell them. Maybe you felt a little embarrassed. I'm glad Jesus isn't that way. I'm glad God's not that way. This man thought, all right, I've kept the rules. This man thought, I've kept the commandments. I've obeyed my parents. I'm not a liar. I've treated my family the right way. He had this list of things. He said, I've done all of these things. And you know what? Jesus could have been kind of embarrassed and thought, you know, well, I don't want to make this clear. But no, Jesus was honest. God is honest. And you know what he said to him? He said to him this. He said, all these things, the man said, I've kept all these things. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Jesus was honest with him. He said, listen, you want to make it in on your own? Here's some things. Follow these things. These are from the Ten Commandments. This man knew them. Keep these things. Be good. He said, all right, I've been good. I've been good, and boy, I've been blessed. I've got all sorts of things. Surely I can make it in. But Jesus was honest with him. He said, you know what? You haven't kept them all. And you know what? He asked that man a question. He said, here's what you ought to do. He said, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. And the man wouldn't do that. You know what Jesus knew? He knew that in his heart he was covetous. You know, don't kill and obey your parents and all that. That's in the Ten Commandments. You know what else is in there? Thou shalt not covet. You know what else is in there? What Jesus said is the second greatest commandment. What Jesus said when Jesus was asked about the commandments, he said the second greatest commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. He revealed here to this man, he wasn't as perfect as he thought he was. You see, God is holy, but God's also honest. God's different than we are. He's distinct. He's pure. He's righteous. He's not a sinner like we are, and he never, ever, ever one time hides the fact that we can't do it on our own. There may be somebody in here tonight, maybe one of our young friends, but maybe one that's not sitting here, that you would say, you know what? I thought I thought I was doing okay. You know, surely when I get to heaven and I stand before God, when I meet God one day, surely He'll let me into heaven because I've done enough good to outweigh the bad. My good things are much more than the bad things, and so surely God will let me into heaven. No, friend, that's not how it works. The Bible tells us God is honest. Jesus didn't get embarrassed. He told this man the truth. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 3, verse number 10. He says, as it is written, you know what he says? There is none righteous, no, not one. You know what? I was a little younger even than this age. I was about 4 years old. And my dad was a pastor. I grew up in a Christian home. But, you know, I heard the gospel and God was honest with me. And you know what? Even as a four-year-old, He let me know that I was a sinner. That Romans chapter number 3 applied to my life. That there is none righteous, no, not one. Me being in a pastor's home, did it matter? Me being a good boy that went to Sunday school, did it matter? Me being one who learned the Bible and memorizing Scripture, all those good things I could have said with this man here, Lord, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this, but God was honest with me through His Word and He let me know that none of that mattered. Not one thing mattered that I did because I was a sinner and God's holy. And He said to me that through His Word there is none righteous, no, not one. And He also is honest about what happens because of our sin. He tells us in Romans chapter number 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. You say, you know, is that something that we should talk about? Well, God's honest about it. God made it clear that because of our sin, we deserve, it's what we deserve because God's holy and we're not. We deserve to be punished and we deserve to even spend eternity in a place called hell forever and ever, separated from God. That's what God says. Say, preacher, I don't like that very much. Well, I'm just telling you what God said in His book. And if God's honest, we should be honest with what He says. You see, we learn from this that God is holy. That's a problem because we're not. We're sinners. We're unclean and He is clean. We are what the Bible says is unrighteous, but He is righteous. The Bible says that He's spotless, but we're dirty because of our sin. And because of that, we deserve to be punished in a terrible place called hell. But let's review here. All right, hold up one finger. I'm going to see if you're learning anything, okay? We ought to give you a break and let the adults do this, but we're going to let you do this, all right? So just tell me, you don't have to raise your hand. What's the first thing that we learn from this passage? God is holy. Very good. What's the second thing that we learn from this passage?
God is honest.
God is honest, all right? Third thing, hold up your third finger. I'm going to give you one more here that I want you to remember, and no doubt in my mind you will. You'll remind your parents of them later, okay? God is holy. God is honest. The third thing, and it starts with an H, God is helpful. God is helpful. You know what? If I had trouble getting up these stairs, you know what I need? I need help. If I have trouble, doing a very hard job, what do I need? I need help. You know what this rich young ruler did? He was trying to do something on his own that he could not do on his own. He needed help. He needed someone to help him. He didn't realize that, but he knew, or he didn't know, but he needed to know that I can't get to God on my own. I can't get into heaven on my own. This is what Jesus was trying to show him. Not that you work your way into heaven, but that you can't work your way into heaven. You can't do it. You need help. But I'm glad to tell you tonight, young people and church family and those listening over the internet, that not only is God holy and not only is God honest, but God is also helpful in the sense that He did what was necessary to do what we could not do. Not one person in this building, could ever make it to heaven without the help of Almighty God. Not one rich person has enough money to buy their way into heaven. Not one smart person is smart enough to figure out how to build a rocket ship to fly to heaven. Not one person can do it. Why? Because we're all people. And but God honestly tells us we're all sinners. And because of that, what do we need? We need help. We can't do it on our own. I want to read to you a verse that all of you know, probably most of the congregation knows. But the Bible says in John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God desires to help every person because He loves every person. The Bible said that God loves the world. We have on the back board there those missionary cards and missionary letters, and you and even your young people ought to go and look at those, and those things remind us that we do that because God loves the world. There's people in Africa that God loves, and people in Asia, and people in Europe, and if you name a place where people living, there are people there that God loves, and He loves us so much that the Lord Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 19, one chapter over, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." In other words, He came around to help those that need help. But you know what? We've got to know we need help. This guy had a problem that we read about. He was just like the Pharisee and earlier in the chapter that Jesus told about, that stood there and goes, "I'm glad that I'm not as other men." He was just like that. He couldn't figure out that he needed help. But that's what we all need. Jesus died for our sins. The book of Romans, chapter number 5 and verse number 8 says, "But God commendeth." That's a big word that just means He showed His love toward us. He didn't just say He loved us. He showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we were everything that God is not, He's holy, we're not, He loved us enough to send Jesus to this earth to die in our place for our sins. I'm glad He didn't stay dead. He rose again from the death, and He did so to bring to finality His work that He had done on this earth. But He did that, young people, for you. An adult, He did that for you. And one listening on the internet, He did that for you. There's a lot of folks that live their life just like this rich young ruler, and they think, "Hey, I'm okay. God will take me just like I am. I'm good enough." But none of us are good enough. What they need to realize is that Jesus died in their place, and He took their punishment for you. We said the wages of sin is death. We read that in Romans 6:23. The rest of the verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life." We deserve to die, but He died for us. We deserve to be punished, but He took our punishment for us. And young people, listen to me. All of you, if you haven't done that, need to understand. He's holy, I'm not. Because I'm a sinner, I deserve to be punished. But Jesus died for my sins and rose again for me. And you say, then what happens? Well, let me reread something. Jesus said in verse 17, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." You know what the amazing thing of it is? We have these young people in front of us tonight and last week and the special emphasis, and it's fun and it's exciting, and you get energy from seeing their energy. But you know what the amazing thing of it is? We sit here as adults. We know all this stuff, don't we? But yet God uses one of them to show us what we have to be like in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. We have to just believe Him. We have to take Him at His word. We have to trust Him. He said, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on His name. Doesn't matter how old you are. Whether you're 8 or 80 or anywhere in between or anywhere on the other ends of those numbers. It doesn't matter where you are. We're all saved. We're all forgiven the same way by trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Could we all bow our heads together and close our eyes for just a moment?